When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I feel like everyone nowadays is in such a rush for summer to be over. What is going on? Doesn't it feel like everyone's talking about, oh, summer's ending? We're in the middle of August still. Can't we enjoy the summer a little bit?
I'm trying to hold on to the rest of the summer, man.
Me too. Nice. The weather's warm.
I mean, I do like fall, though. There's something about football season being on the verge and being here in fall and basketball season starts while football's going, baseball, World Series. I do like that culmination of sports, though.
One thing when you're a kid, summer, like, lasts forever. Boy, it goes by in an eye blink when you're grown. When you're a kid, man, summer's, like, never going to end.
And summer now, hasn't ended?
I know, but everyone's talking like it is. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know who.
Every time I turn around, oh, summer's almost over. I wish everyone would shut up about it. I guess I'm talking
like
about
fall
it.
Outside,
summer
though.
Doesn't end in for me until after Labor Day.
Labor Day, right.
Yeah.
They got kids going to school in the middle of August now. I would not make my kids go to school.
My kids don't go to school until the 30th.
Of August.
They go on the 30th, and then they come. So stupid. They go on the 30th.
And they come back.
They come back for 2 days, and they go away for Labor Day. They get a break again.
What's the point of... What?
Don't, man, go ask the school. Right, Jay?
It makes no damn sense.
I don't care where my kids go to school. I would never make them go before Labor Day.
And they tried
after Labor Day is when you go to school.
So in that conversation, I'm having a conversation. I'm like, yeah, but we're going to go away for Labor Day. Well, they got to go to school. I don't care about that.
Stop.
They got to go to school for 2 days.
They're not going
to
miss anything.
They're not going to miss anything. No. You know, my daughter, like, yeah, we're not going to miss anything.
Get me out of here.
Oh, God.
So, except that my daughters, they like really like school. When I was a kid, school was the enemy. Now they love school.
My kids love school because, you know, they love it. But if there's an opportunity to extend their vacation, they want to extend it.
Right, of course.
I'm not one of those dudes, you know. If we want to go somewhere and it's a Friday, Max,
yeah,
I'm like,
you're
take,
going on
take
a
them
yeah.
out of school. Yeah, man, right. It's not going to hurt. Well, they give them so much work. I get it. Here's what you do. Just like me and Jay did when we were in school and college. You go to the teachers and you ask for your work early and you take it with you. Well, I'm going to miss. The other people are going to do it. And I'm going to be behind. You're not going to be behind.
Mm. Not easy.
You're not going to be behind.
Or you
you're not going to Harvard anyway.
You can make the case that this is helping me get ahead.
Right? Yeah.
I'm getting ahead.
You tell them, right? You're not going to Harvard anyway. So who cares? You're not going to MIT anyway. They're not, because that's not what they want to do. Right? My kids don't want to go to Harvard at MIT. They're not looking for that. They want to have a life.
How old are your kids?
10 and 12.
They don't know what they want yet.
No, they're advanced, Jay, in this world.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes. My daughter's advanced, 12 years old, but mine like a 40, you know? They just
12 going on 25?
All day. Mm. Hey, girl, what you up to? No, we ain't doing that. Where the rest of the pants at? Okay, yeah, you better put that on.
Oh, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get stressed out about that.
Yeah, what are you doing? And if they come up, you got to ha! That's what I have to tell her. Teacher.
I already find myself looking at three-year-old little boys with a side eye. Like, I will jack you up, man.
No, but they're extremely smart. Unlike when we were growing up, because the education system at the schools that our kids can afford to go to nowadays is different than the schools we went to. Mm-hmm. Even if you went to a private school, the private schools that you went to weren't the private schools now. Private schools now,
it's, so advanced,
it's like
it's so
they go to Harvard already in high school. Mm. You know, that's just what it is.
Is it something or nothing for Daniel Jones, the fact that Tyrod Taylor is going to get some reps with the first team offense in preseason? Listen to Brian Daboll, this is the Giants head coach, of course, press conference.
As we get going here in terms of the preseason games, you know, we'll talk about whatever we think is best. But, you know, I have full confidence in Daniel and full confidence in Tyrod and what his role is. each day we sit there, we evaluate the guys, but, you know, will he get a few reps here or there? He might.
Brian, will that be, is that any reflection on Daniel?
Or absolutely not, no.
Well, so, is it a reflection on Daniel?
Well, it is a reflection on Daniel to a degree, because if it was Daniel's job, which, look, we all know it is his job to a degree until it's not, but every other quarterback who is a veteran that you understand is his job, you're not worried about a guy like Tyrell Taylor. But just look at the stats. The stats speak for itself. Daniel Jones is 12-25 as a starter. I mean, a team last year, as it relates to like ranked 31st in scoring last season, there's struggles here. So there's a quarterback competition. It may not be public, but it's definitely happening internally.
This is his fourth year?
Yes.
Yep.
And he's 12-25.
12-25, he is a starter.
It's a bad record. God, that's a bad record. I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's coming into it with being optimistic as a new head coach, but at the same time understanding that I got something that I like that I had before. I know what it is. I know it's safe. But I need to see him with the first unit so that I'll know and my coaching staff knows that if, in fact, and when we make the decision publicly to remove Daniel Jones from the starting quarterback spot in week 5, then we made the right decision based on what Tyrod Taylor has done with the first unit during the preseason. Typically, Max and Jay, teams don't start quarterbacks with the first unit in a preseason game. They do give them snaps because they want to see what it is, but they typically don't start a guy. Unless there's a quarterback competition, they say, you start this game, he'll start the next game, he'll start this game.
What is this? Is this a quarterback competition in reality?
Yes. In our reality, it is. Inside the building, it is. In Daniel Jones' mind, it's not. I'm the starter until such due time that they remove me.
It's his to lose.
Well, he's probably already lost it, which means that they already know we're going to replace him in week 5. They already know. We may not know that they know, but they know.
And that means they're going to draft a quarterback next year.
They probably will draft a quarterback next year. Probably.
Daniel,
because they didn't pick up his fifth-year option, right?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they dropped the quarterback next year. What the hell are we talking about?
If it weren't up for a question, why would Tyrod Taylor be getting any snaps at the first unit during a preseason game?
I agree.
As a starter.
The thing about Daniel Jones, like when Key, you'll sometimes do this, you'll identify reclamation projects in the league where you go, you know what, I want to try that guy. Like Sam Bradford was that. Sam Darnold was that.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky's
Mitch
that.
Mitch Trubisky, Darnold is SC, so already, you know, it's Key.
God, stop.
But Mitch Trubisky, actually, in retrospect, had a track record of success for a team that couldn't win without him. Daniel Jones, I think, throws
can't
the ball.
Win, he can't win without him.
I think Daniel Jones throws the ball down the field better than Trubisky. I think he's a more accurate quarterback. He's tall. He's fast in addition to that. But he does not have Trubisky's track record. Is he, after this season, a reclamation project for someone, Daniel Jones?
I don't believe that Daniel Jones will be a reclamation project for someone.
Really? So he's a backup?
I think he'll be a backup after this season. He'll be a lifetime backup. Mm. And you could tell, first of all, Dave Gettleman reached for him. Nobody else was going to do that. Nobody else was doing that. Nobody said he's a sixth pick of the draft. Many people said that Mitch Trubisky was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, of the draft. So he gets another opportunity from a reclamation standpoint. Much success, like you said, he had success. Daniel Jones, zero success, and nobody was reaching for him. Nobody. So they're not going to give him an opportunity to, like, who needs a quarterback? Like, the Seattle Seahawks aren't going to sign Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback next year.
It's a good thought experiment.
They're not going to do it.
Could I see that happening? Probably not.
No, they're not
going
to do it.
Somewhere else, right?
The New York Jets aren't going to sign him to battle Zach Wilson for the starting quarterback.
Who has a better starting quarterback, the Jets or the Giants?
Based on what we've seen, the Giants.
Oof.
And now, it's crazy because you see a team like Philly with Jalen Hurts, and you're seeing what potentially, you know, all right, that's what a dual threat quarterback
Daniel Jones is a dual threat quarterback, but let me say this. He's fast. He's legit fast. He doesn't look right. Like when you see Josh Allen run or Trubisky, they look athletic. When Jalen Hurts runs, he looks athletic. When Daniel Jones runs, he looks fast, but not athletic, if you know what I mean. It's like he's straight line fast.
Yeah, he can move for a quarterback. He can move for a quarterback. I don't think that I just don't think he'll get an opportunity. I think they're going to try to do everything they can to help him out, but they're going to have such a short leash on him. They don't, at some point, they're not going to want to have, they're not going to want him to have success. You understand what I'm saying? At some point, they're going to say, we got to remove him. Because what happens in these situations with coaches and front office people is, if he starts off slow and then he gets hot, they have a decision to have, they don't want that. So if he starts off hot, okay, we're cool. If he starts off slow, we're not going to take him out, then replace him with Tyrod Taylor. Then Tyrod, we're just going to tank it if Tyrod Taylor ever gets a quarterback spot, it's his for the rest of the season.
Download the ESPN Fantasy app, the most popular fantasy sports app, period. It makes playing ESPN Fantasy Football easy, fun, and fast. Update to gameplay on the ESPN Fantasy app includes new scoring and league management tools with more new features and updates on the way throughout the season. Sign up at ESPN.com/FFL, as in Fantasy Football League, FFL, ESPN.com/FFL, or download the ESPN Fantasy app. All right, guys. Zach Wilson's knee surgery was deemed a success. It says right here it was deemed a success. Not just called a success, it was deemed a success. But will Zach
what is
Wilson,
a what is a not successful knee surgery?
Yeah, right. You need another knee surgery, I guess.
What would that be, Jay?
I don't know.
Swelling in it.
Infection.
Or maybe you didn't
infection,
get arthroscopic surgery. They got to kind of clean it out, right? So maybe it's not. There's still chips in there or something, right?
Well, I would hope if they opened up my damn knee, they're going to get all the chips.
You would hope?
I don't need you opening my knee because you forgot. Yeah. Oh, I forgot a chip.
I would probably say something like a non-successful, like you get like a staph infection or something like that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
That wouldn't be good.
But it wouldn't the surgery, as long as they, good. Like to me, so for example, my detached retina, right? My retina is healed. My retina is cured, but I still can't see out of my left eye because now I have another problem. The surgery was a success, but that doesn't mean I can see. So it's a good question. What would a non-successful surgery look like? I guess it didn't achieve what the objective of the surgery was, right? Like if they need to clean it out, if it's a scope or something.
Or maybe they went in and they thought it was going to be worse than what it was, and it wasn't, and, you know, maybe that's, I don't know.
I don't know. Now all that has to happen is Zach Wilson has to be a success. That seems to be much more difficult. Here's Robert Saleh, the Jets head coach, at the press conference about the Jets quarterback depth.
I said it way back, I think either OTAs or earlier in training camp, that we feel like we have three starting quarterbacks. And Mike has gone out and proven that he can beat a really good defense. He threw for over 400 yards. He's even in that Thursday night game a couple days later, he threw a shot to Elijah Moore to tie the game up. He had to leave with the injury. And so we got all the faith in the world in Mike White, got all the faith in the world in Joe Flacco, and then you got Strebler showing that he can ball too. So really like our quarterback room.
Now, Zach Wilson was coming on in the second half of last year, but let's not forget, Jets fans really felt like Mike White, the height that he hit at his best, was probably the best they've seen at quarterback in a while for that team. Mike Greenberg and Chris Canty were talking about this on Get Up. Now, Greeny is a big Jets fan, as you know if you watch and listen to ESPN. And Chris Canty broke his heart. Listen to this.
Will you excuse me for a moment while my head explodes? Because the Jets have drafted in the last 5 years a quarterback at number 3 and at number 2. Mm-hmm. Are they now going to take one at number 1 as well in a 5-year stretch? It is already unprecedented. You're telling me that there is already reason to be thinking about whether or not the Jets will give up on Zach Wilson after this year.
Yeah, there's no question about it in my mind, Greeny, because you're talking about the opportunity cost of it all. Do you want to be in a position that the New York Giants are in with Daniel Jones, where they passed on Justin Herbert? thinking that they had their franchise quarterback? No, you don't want to do that. So this is something that the Jets would have to consider. And let's also keep this in mind. If Zach Wilson has a terrible year because of injury or otherwise, then not only are you talking about a new quarterback, you're probably talking about a new general manager too.
Well, that would make sense because the GM is tied to the quarterback.
Well, all three are. The head coach, the general manager, yeah.
And here's what's crazy. The way Greeny put it, he's right. You draft a quarterback third overall. Mm-hmm. A couple years later, you got it wrong. Because, by the way, Darnold,
he had another shot. That was the organization that got it wrong. It wasn't Joe Douglas.
He had another shot with the Panthers. But
it wasn't Joe Douglas that got it wrong.
Right, but they selected a guy who a lot of people, I thought Darnold would be a very good quarterback for a while. I didn't know if he'd be great, but I thought he'd be a good quarterback in the NFL. He has not been. Now they take Zach Wilson second overall. I thought Zach Wilson had real potential to be a great quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback. Maybe he could be a good one. Now, I think Chris Canty's right. I think there's a chance the Jets, for the third time in five seasons, use a very high draft pick on a quarterback.
Can't do it.
You think they won't do it?
No, you can't do it, and they won't do it. Because if you do that, now you're telling your owner – in the rest of the NFL,
you don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yep.
Your resume is
that true?
Your resume is going to look really bad,
a mess,
when you get fired. Joe Douglas isn't in the business of not getting a job again. He's in the business of continuing to take care of his family. So he's got a bet on Zach Wilson. He's all in with Zach Wilson. He's all in. If the Jets have the number one overall pick, they're going to trade out of it unless there's something there other than a quarterback that's worthy of the number one overall pick.
But see, I don't know if I stand by, like, just because I made a bet a couple of years ago, if this year it turns out to be a disaster, that I have to stay with it. Like, because of what my resume looks like. My resume will look great if we win, if I end up getting it right. So my thing is, increase your odds. If it doesn't pan out with Zach Wilson this year, if you see somebody that you believe in, like a C.J. Stroud, why wouldn't you go for that?
But see, that's not the way these NFL owners and presidents of these teams that hire these general managers think. The fact that you miss now on a top pick and a year later.
2 years later.
Or 2 years later, you're now going after another quarterback. That's not a good look.
I have a question for you.
3 years?
I want to take a quarterback who you had high hopes for and who you needed more information on, and I mentioned him before, Darnold.
Yes.
Okay? So there's a guy. He fits the bill. He's tall. He's athletic. He had a very good college career. He it was hard to tell with guys like that. Sometimes same prospects in any sport, like which ones are going to pan out all the way and which ones just kind of looked the part. You needed more information on Darnold. He got another opportunity. You now have enough information on Darnold. He's not a great starting quarterback. Okay. What was it about Darnold that you didn't know that you had to find out? And what did you learn about him that made you decide?
Here's what I would say. He is a reclamation project steal. For somebody.
So you still haven't gotten enough info to count him out?
You really haven't. He was with Adam Gase.
What are you looking for? What I'm trying to figure out is, what are you looking for?
Stability, number one. Okay? Not this herky-jerky situation where an offensive coordinator gets fired in the middle of his, Joe Brady gets fired or whatever happened. You're dealing with that. Then he gets hurt. So what you see is the first three games or four games in Carolina. You're like,
with McCaffrey.
With the team. Oh, it looked like a different quarterback. Then you see him without him. It's like, well, okay, here we go.
So what you know if already I put is him he needs with a really good running
if,
back.
If I put him with Kyle Shanahan, for instance, what does he look like? What does he look like with Shanahan, Josh McDaniel, Todd Haley?
It's interesting, Shanahan, if he wanted Darnold, he could have gotten him a lot cheaper than he got Trey Lance.
It doesn't mean that he wanted him. What would it look like if I put him with him, though? That type of – what does he look like with Sean Payton versus Joe Brady and Matt Rhule?
Right.
And Adam Gase? Like, what does that look like? Probably look better than it's ever looked.
The reason I ask is because what Jay is saying is, look, and you two are approaching it from different philosophies. And obviously, Key, you're the football expert.
Yes, I am. That is correct.
But Jay has a lot of experience at the highest
level. Well, basketball.
Of another sport.
But my thing is, I don't feel like I need to stay with I don't worry about other people's perception of me because I made a bet and my bet didn't pan out. See, like for me, if I made a bet and I need to pivot because the bet didn't work, like I'm willing to pivot quickly because that's how I've seen successful people become even more successful because they're adaptive.
Yeah, you don't just keep burning money to burn money. You get out of it. I get it. But in this situation, OJ, because jobs are on the line and people are attached to one another, you can't abandon the ship.
Yeah, but I'm
because
not.
Because what if you get it wrong on CJ Stroud?
But for instance,
I guess that would be who we were talking about, right?
Stroud, yeah.
Yeah, what if you get it wrong with him and his rookie year, he twists his ankle. Oh, he came back, he didn't do so great. Oh, the second year he did. Like, you can't.
It is a difference.
Okay, but the same
philosophy.
Thing works out if I stick with Zach Wilson for another year and I'm still going to lose my job.
It is.
So if my gut tells me Zach Wilson is not the answer, like I might as well follow my gut and go with something that I think it's worth taking another shot on.
You have a better shot at extending your personnel career by waiting it out opposed to abandoning the ship.
Key's talking about incentives for individuals and jobs, and Jay is talking about optimal outcome for the team. And I would say that you guys have different. There's a philosophical difference.
I'm not working with Jay in the
personal department. He is a little more patient and wants to see through the plan and get more definitive evidence. And Jay, if he gets a sense that this is not working out, wants to move on because what's the point in burning a year or two if you already got the sense? Now, sometimes, Jay, your philosophy will work. And you were right, and keys will backfire, and other times the reverse will be true.
Agreed.
And if you were more patient, it works. And it really, you know, it's just different approaches to the same thing. So fill in the blank.
Jay online too, don't answer.
The season will be considered a success for the Dallas Cowboys. The season will be considered a success for the Dallas Cowboys. Fill in the blank. If
we all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are. A loss for words? Not here. Fill in the blank.
Time to play fill in the blank here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and our new producer, Shannon, is here to help us play this game.
Shannon! You know?
Have we announced that yet, Shannon, that you are now the producer of this show?
I don't think we've officially announced it.
Well, now I just did.
You just did, though. Officially announced it. coming to the stage, the lovely Shannon, our new producer.
Absolutely. I'm not going to make any definitive statements. All I'll say that the show looks much better now with me on it.
Looks better.
Doesn't sound
better. We're not on TV right now, though. Oh, all right, cool. All right, let's move on. All right, here we go. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Keyshawn, I will start with you on this first one. The season will be considered a success for the Dallas Cowboys if
they win two playoff games.
That was going to be my answer. They have to win multiple playoff games.
One playoff game. They need to win a playoff game. They haven't done it recently. Win a playoff game, and at least you broke even to me. Maybe a success is two, but a failure is anything less than one.
All right, Max. Jimmy Garoppolo will be a member of blank when the season starts. What you got, Max?
I'm going to say Deshaun is out of here for the year, and it's going to be Cleveland. It's going to be Cleveland. Cleveland Browns.
Key, are you going to answer?
Oh, I was waiting for Shannon. I would say Seattle. Seattle would be the key.
Yeah, I would probably say Seattle.
Mm. Well, they could use them.
Seattle and Cleveland.
Seattle actually has some weapons on offense,
Cleveland
man.
Could use them, but Jacoby Brissett, I think, would be okay.
For a season? A whole season?
He's not injury prone. Jimmy Garoppolo's injury prone.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, but Garoppolo, they were on the same
team. I don't
team.
Want to hear
he
went
2-0.
He went 1-1. He was QB 1-2.
Yeah, but he also, he's been to on two deep playoff runs. Brissett's never done that. Brissett's a good backup. Garoppolo's a good starter. I don't know.
All right, moving on. Keyshawn.
Yes,
blank
that would be me.
Is the best quarterback in the AFC North.
Well, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Deshaun's not playing, so Lamar.
I want to say Joe Burrow so bad because I love Joe Burrow, but I think this is Lamar's year. I think Lamar wins Super Bowl, maybe wins the MVP. I'm going to say Lamar.
All right. I try to get cute there and throw in the AFC North there because I know how much Max loves Joe Burrow. But
you know, I
none of you guys bid on that, so I will move on. The blank is the best NFL team no one is talking about. What you got, Keyshawn? Who?
The best NFL team that no one is talking about is the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints is probably the best NFL team that no one is really talking about.
That's a great question. I mean, like, do the Colts count?
Yes, the Colts. That's the answer.
I'll take the Colts.
Nobody's talking about the Colts, Key.
Yeah, I'll take
my wife's from there. She's from Indy.
Yeah, same with my wife.
Really?
What part of Indy? Your wife? Wait, your wife is from Indy?
Yes.
Mine too. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
What part?
My father-in-law's from there.
What part?
They went to IU.
It turns out that you two are brother-in-laws somehow.
Shut up.
You didn't know that?
You're messing with me.
Oh, my God. How many times have you heard Jay say that? My wife's from Indiana. My father-in-law's from Indiana.
Oh, we got jokes on me telling stories on the show.
Well documented.
Shannon.
All right, last question. And, Jay, I will start with you on this one. Here we go, because we love talking football on this show.
We're a football show.
Justin Herbert is the blank-ranked quarterback in the AFC West. Where does Justin Herbert rank in the AFC West QB hierarchy? What you got, Jay?
I think second-best quarterback in AFC West. I mean, first is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, then Justin Herbert. Then I would probably go Derek Carr.
I would say he's the third-best quarterback. I would go Pat Carr, Herbert, Wilson.
I would say second best with a bullet, like only because Mahomes is in almost any other division, it's Herbert, but in this one, he's second to Mahomes.
Wait. So all of you guys have Russell Wilson as the worst quarterback?
No, I have Russell Wilson ahead of Derek Carr.
Oh, okay.
I
have Derek Carr fourth. I mean, Derek Carr is good, but that's a tough division with quarterbacks.
Yeah, I know. Russell Wilson, better than Carr. Got it.
Yeah, listen. Dude's won a Super Bowl, went to two, won one, had his first losing season this last year.
His resume is better, but talent-wise, is he better than Carr?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But I don't know about that.
Carr checks more boxes because of his size, but Carr's never been on a deep playoff run. Never. And he's been in the league a long time.
Yeah, what I would say, is if I dropped Carr in those Seattle teams.
Maybe no.
They probably would have won a Super Bowl.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if I put Russell Wilson on some of those Carr teams, they do better than they did. I don't know.
No, you can't do better than that. Have you seen those coaches and, come on, man, those players?
There's a reason he wasn't on the team.
Oh, God.
All right. Is it time to panic in the Bronx? What can the Yankees do to get back on track?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
I'm telling you, Max and Key, if this year doesn't pan out for Zach Wilson, if you're Joe Douglas, I think you look at pivoting as quickly as possible. If you have a chance to take a guy like C.J. Stroud, or people are in love with Bryce Young, and it's not trending in the right direction for Zach Wilson, I don't feel the need to double down on the bet if I don't feel like the bet is trending in the right direction.
Key, before so you respond, let me make an argument for Jay that I haven't heard you respond to. You know that the GM is tied to the quarterback he drafted up high, right? Yeah. While he still has time. If he messed up Zach, if he thinks he it doesn't that give him a little lifeline, Joe Douglas, if he's like, you know what, I messed up, let me pivot right now?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't, because I don't know if you're going to mess up again. Like, you really like telling me right now that Zach Wilson, and is he any good? You didn't like him, even though you convinced the world that you did like him, and now you're getting ready to get rid of him and have him go work for JetBlue Airlines is what you're getting ready to go do. You're getting ready to have him ask the people
high up there in JetBlue
when they come onto the tarmac. I mean, onto the plane, off the bridge, and tell people, "Hey, what's your seat? Are you on the left or on the right?" That's what you're telling me.
Different scenarios. I mean, but Frank Wright sold us on Carson Wentz.
No, Frank Wright didn't sell us on Carson Wentz. Frank Wright and the general manager made a decision that Chris Ballard. It was a better decision at the time with a quarterback that had already been
GM in Philly. I don't know why.
Howie Roseman.
Roseman put together a team, drafted Carson Wentz, the whole thing, gave him a contract, won a Super Bowl, gave him a contract after that, pivoted, drafted Jalen Hurts, got rid of Carson Wentz.
Yeah, but Carson Wentz had already been there for years.
And he won a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl. He got some equity.
It's a different situation. This situation, look, why did the Jets ever draft him in the first place? Because they thought he was good. Many people out there think part of the reason that they drafted him because his uncle created JetBlue. Whether or not that's true or not, who knows? No. You know, I know, but that's what people say. Because his uncle did create JetBlue, which is a great uncle to have. I guess if you get cut, you don't have to worry about anything. You can go work for JetBlue. Jeez. Wouldn't that be great, Max, if your uncle created
I wish someone in my family invented anything.
What if, what's the guy's, Virgin Atlantic, what's his name? Bronson?
Richard Branson.
What if that was your cousin and you didn't know it?
Oh, it's so good. I hung out with his half-brother once in Vegas. Yeah, it's a good life.
Hey, Unc, how you doing?
Yeah.
I wonder if he gets free
flights. No, I'm the relative in my family. I'm the relative. That's how bad off
he gets free flights. Do you think Zach Wilson get free flights? Do you think they get free flights?
Free? I don't know. Cause he still have a stake in it or no? Or he just founded it and sold it?
I mean, usually when you find something, you created it, you still have a stake in it to some degree.
Is it time to panic in the Bronx? Look, everything went right for the Yankees all year, guys. They were playing, not that they weren't a great team, but they were playing even over their heads. Like, no team is that hot, usually, sustained for a season as the Yankees have been. Very few in history.
The Dodgers.
So, well, the Dodgers from several years ago. Like, in 2018, the Dodgers stayed that hot the whole season, right? But in 1998, the Yankees stayed even hotter than that all season. But very few teams that ever existed are like that. But the Yankees go from, oh, my God, to ice cold. Like, especially past the trade deadline. And I wonder how much of it has to do with chemistry, right? Like, they trade a guy like Jordan Montgomery. He came up from the farm system, good left-hander, underrated, the whole thing. They trade him at the deadline. Maybe that upset some guys. They lost some guys who could put the ball in play, not just three true outcomes hitters who strike out and hit a lot of home runs, but guys who, you know, put the ball in play like LeMahieu and Matt Carpenter and these kind of guys. Lost to injury. Is it time to panic in the Bronx? Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB analyst on SportsCenter on the Yankee struggles.
One of the reasons that the Yankees were so good to start the season is because they were really healthy. You know, there was a team in the American League East, an executive reached out to me back in about May, June, and said, when are the Yankees going to get an injury? Well, he poked a voodoo doll somewhere because the Yankees are missing Giancarlo Stanton right now, DJ LeMahieu, Matt Carpenter, Michael King's out for the season, Chad Green's out for the season. They're banged up at this point. And when you look at the inability to score runs, it's very simple. Aaron Judge cannot be a one-man team, no matter how great he's been this season.
And, you know, another thing is the Yankees were winning close games early in the season. They started losing them. Listen to what he said. Michael King, their setup guy, out for the season. Chad Green, who was their maybe best reliever, certainly one of their two best relievers, out for the season last couple of years. And now Clay Holmes, their closer, out.
But part of that, though, is that they haven't been able to manufacture any runs, though. I understand the pitching has suffered, but when you don't get runs, you know, they got to score, and they haven't been able to do
anything.
They're
missing all those batting average guys, the guys who hit the line. LeMahieu is a guy who gets on.
I know we're focusing in on the pitching, but when you just mentioned when you are missing the guys with the bats, that's where you lose at.
Yeah, it's injury.
Because if you got strong bats, no matter what your pitching is doing, you're able to balance that out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, with the Achilles of Stanton, with the toe for LeMahieu, like, getting guys back in that rotation is pivotal. And, look, it's one hell of a luxury to have, considering you still have a 9-game lead.
Yeah.
They built in a lot of equity in the beginning of the season, clearly.
You know what Cashman does, though, guys? Like, I noticed it this trade deadline, too.
Do you like him now?
I always like him.
No, you didn't.
No, I always like him, but I want him to be, if you're not the best GM in baseball, you should not be the GM of the Yankees. That's, like, bottom line. There's no salary cap to pay your GM. He has not been the best GM in baseball over his career. He's been, like, a good one, but it's not good enough for the Yankees. That's why the Red Sox have won 4 World Series. The Yankees have won one since the turn of the century. So he's been the GM the whole time. He is great at not spending too much in terms of your prospects or cash and getting a good return, right? But sometimes you got to bring some to get some. Sometimes you got to go all out. So Luis Castillo is available. So is Montas, right? Castillo costs a lot. Montas doesn't cost. I think that's a good move. Go get Montas. But the cost is you didn't get the ace type guy. You know,
But if you're getting the same production from the non-ace.
Kinda. Not exactly.
Okay, so what are you off of? A point here, a point there?
You know when those points show up? You're right. Regular season, it doesn't show up as much, Key. They can approximate it. But when it matters most in those high leverage moments, the elite guys can shine. And that next tier down, it's a little harder for them. So I feel like in critical moments and look, he went after Sonny Gray, good pitcher from the Oakland A's, instead of spending more to get like a real ace. Sonny Gray couldn't handle the Bronx. But even if he could, he's not Justin Verlander. There's a difference when you need him the most, you know? He's good at identifying athletic outfielders undervalued. Maybe Bader is that. We'll see when he gets off injury. He got Nick Swisher that way. He got Curtis Granderson that way. But I remember Jason Bay and Xavier Nady, both Pittsburgh outfielders, were both available. Nady was okay. Bay was really good. He went and got Nady because it was cheaper in terms of the prospects he had to give up.
But if you
sometimes you got to put your chips to the middle of the table.
And you do that. The Dodgers do it all the time.
Yes, they do.
They go get the ace in a hole versus waiting around and trying to get the cheaper guy who gives you a little bit. But sometimes that guy that's cheaper, it works out the way you want it to.
It does.
Especially when you're dealing with not, and it's no salary cap, you can spill whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line matters to owners. The bottom line, if I'm giving all my money to Max damn Kellerman, I'm not making any money myself. I'm in the business of making money and win championships.
Jay hit the nail on the head.
I want to go over the salary cap all the time, though.
Excuse me?
Hal Steinbrenner's cheap, period. Hal Steinbrenner's cheap.
So we were talking about, it's like with the Golden State Warriors, like they're willing to go over the cap all the time.
Yeah, he's
Joe Lacob doesn't care.
Because they don't care. They don't care about what it cost.
Yes.
But when you're talking about Steinbrenner, or even to a point with the Dodgers don't want to pay the luxury tax either.
But they'll do it if they have.
They go right up to it, and if they need to, they go over it. Where Dr. Buss with the Lakers, he didn't care. He's like, how much is it going to cost?
Hal Steinbrenner is among the Yankees are always near the top in terms of spending, but their revenue dwarfs every team.
Yes.
Between Yes Network and all that. And yet he doesn't spend like that.
See, me and you, Jay, we would spend it.
Because I want to win.
Because we want to win, and we're happy if we make $10 and not $18, so to speak.
Right.
We're happy. It's like 10. I can do the same thing with 10 that I would do with 18.
And
I'm
not
good.
Only that, well, more well, than that, you're competitive.
There's certain things. Yeah. Well, you're competitive, but there's certain brands. I was reading an article about this with Jenny Buss and the Lakers. They're legacy brands.
Yes.
Where it's like you overspend for the legacy because the legacy has to uphold itself, right? And that's worth the spend.
Point. That's a great point.
Yeah.
It's worth the spin.
But you know what? You don't get to be.
Cowboys will spin. Jerry Jones spins.
You don't get to be a legacy brand unless the following is true. Without regard to that, the owner of the team is so competitive, they can't bear not to win.
Yeah.
That was George Steinbrenner for most of his career, not always. That was Dr. Jerry Buss. If you talk to Jeannie Buss or Jerry Buss back in the day when he was around, they saw the Lakers, and they still see them very much as a public trust. We don't own the Lakers. We're stewards of a public trust. We need to treat that a certain way. Whereas, you know, someone, I'm the owner of the team, and I'll do what I want, and James Dolan or something, right? The Buss family not only is super competitive, but they handle with care because they think this is an important institution. And Hal Steinbrenner seems to me just like he's a reasonably competitive businessman who has a big market team and he'll spend like a big market, but he doesn't spend like a guy whose legacy brand, as you say, Jay, is the foremost on his mind. He doesn't spend like a guy who can't bear to lose.
Yeah, he's not going to go load it up like the Padres. He's not going to get Machado. He's not going to get Tatis. He's not going to
Tatis
get...
Tatis is a different story now.
No, I mean...
well, at the time.
I'm just talking about...
Time, before you knew about the Jets.
Hey, man, it is what it is. I don't care about that. I'm talking about spending the money. I mean, we all kind of now know, hey, there's some stuff going on there.
Soto, by the way.
Allegedly.
Soto's a great example. And here's one where I agree with Cashman.
Or Soto, right?
Do you spend every – do you clean out your farm system to get Juan Soto? No, I like the Benintendi pickup. That's a good defensive player. Puts the ball in play. Hits line drives. I like that. Didn't have to hardly give up anything to get him. Stick him in left field. Improves the defense, the offense, the base running. I like that. Instead of, like, clearing yourself out for Juan Soto, you already have a lot of power bats, everything. But I'm looking at some of the other stuff. I'm looking at the Montgomery trade. I'm looking at some of the smaller moves where you didn't go get the hammer at the top of the rotation. Gerrit Cole, finally he went out and got a guy like that. But the Astros messed around and won the World Series, and part of that was they had Verlander.
Yeah.
Right? You got to go get the hammer when you need it. The Red Sox did that. Mookie Betts is available. You know, everyone get out the way. We're going to get that guy.
Well, we did it, the Dodgers.
I said Dodgers.
No, you said Red Sox.
Did I say that?
Yeah,
I meant the Dodgers. Well, they got him from the Red Sox. They got him from the Red Sox.
Red Sox.
But the Red Sox and Dodgers actually are similar in that the Red Sox were the first big market team to play money ball with money. We're going to get the smart guys who know how to win without money, and we're going to put them in charge of this huge payroll. Dodgers went out and did the same thing with Friedman. They're like, why are we messing around old school? Let's go get the best of the new school.
Well, Friedman came from the Rays, but he didn't spend money at the Rays.
Right, but he knew how to win without spending money. And then the Dodgers are like, oh, you know how to win without spending money?
Yeah, we got a little
now
money
try
for
this.
You. Yeah, we got a little money for you.
You could have the biggest payroll in the game, and you know how to win even without the money. That's why the Dodgers right now are the best franchise. They're the best run franchise in baseball. Big money plus smartest guy. And as a Yankees fan, that bothers me. I'm happy for the Dodgers, but I want the Yankees to be the best run franchise in baseball.
Just leave us alone. We're right where we need to be. Stay out of our way.
Why didn't the Yankees go out and get Friedman? You know why? Because they already had Cashman. Why didn't the Giants go out and get Justin Herbert? Well, we like Daniel Jones. How's that working out?
We're right on your tail.
They're not giddy Justin Herbert when they just drafted Daniel Jones.
I get him. See you later, Daniel Jones. Justin Herbert's in.
If they would have fired the coach and brought in a new coach, blah, blah, blah.
Could Patrick Mahomes actually be an even better quarterback in 2022? What? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.